I'm not sure if I'm alone in this, but for me, it doesn't feel too much like the normal Christmas season this year. For one, I'm not noticing as many houses and stores decorated, some, but doesn't seem as many. Chris has done a wonderful job of decorating our house like she always does every year, and we even have a lighted nativity scene in the yard this year with a star in the house and lights coming down, and so we've done our part, but somehow everything seems different to me this year. I suppose part of it is we're not going into any stores, even grocery stores, any more than we have to. We do curbside pickup for groceries, and you know, like a lot of people, we're ordering things online, even for Christmas, and so maybe that's part of it. It just doesn't feel like it normally does. I can remember going as a child with my parents and siblings. We would take what's called the rapid transit downtown and to the large department stores. This is before the malls and all that, and our parents would take us down there at Christmas, and they had these child care centers. They'd put you in with all these activities, and the stores would watch your children while the parents shopped. And, of course, if you were part of that, remember that, they had these beautiful displays in the windows and the lighting, and that was all part of my childhood Christmas. And things have changed over the years, including Christmas, but for me, this year feels different. According to most recent studies, Americans are still expected to spend a lot this year, in fact, a slight bit more than they did last year in Christmas gifts. Dollars spent in the holiday season are projected to be around $760 billion. And when they add a few other things that are kind of related to it, it goes over $1 trillion. That's a lot of money. And even more interesting is that holiday retail sales amounted to, in 2000, approximately $400 billion. So it's almost more than doubled in 20 years of what we're spending on Christmas. Clearly, many have lost a sense of what Christmas is really all about. A simple train ride into downtown doesn't seem nearly as appealing as an expensive electronic device of some sort. And as always, it's not hard for Christmas to get out of control. And while we all get caught up in the Christmas rush and the planning, and again, this year is different, who's going to visit, how we are or not going to do it, I think we all long for a simpler Christmas, the simplicity of Christmas. Somewhere along the line, we lose that. And perhaps we could use a reality check. Several years ago, I told the story of Gerald Coffey, who was one of the longest-held prisoners in the Vietnam War. Here's a kind of a collage of him up here. I'll read it to you again this year. But in February of 1966, while flying combat missions over North Vietnam, Navy Captain Gerald Coffey, Renaissance jet, was downed by enemy fire, and he was immediately captured, parachuted out, but captured immediately. He writes, over a period of 12 days, I was taken in a jeep-like vehicle at night through bombed-out roads. We eventually reached the capital city of Hanoi, where I was jailed in the old French-built prison. For the next 7 years and 9 days, Captain Coffey was held as a North Vietnamese prisoner of war. While in prison, torture was constant and painful. He writes, the first two words that I saw scratched on the wall of my cell by the men that were there before me said something simple, a little formula simply said, God equals strength. He said, that really worked for me. I was never totally alone, and I could always find more strength when I needed it. Every man there had his own prayer routine on a daily basis. Coffey wrote a highly acclaimed book, Beyond Survival. And part of it he talks about in the third year of his captivity, the Vietnamese decided to give 3 candy bars to each of the prisoners around Christmas. So the chocolate was not really quite edible. I'm sure he ate it, but it wasn't all that good. But he began to carefully extract the chocolate, and he separated the foil wrappers. The outside of the wrapper was red, the inside was silver, and so he begins to fold and fashion the foil. First turned out to be a swan. Second, he folded in the little pleats and found a thread, ran it through the center, and it became a simple rosette. He began folding the third, not sure what it would do, and turned out to be a star. And he thought, how appropriate, the Star of Bethlehem. So he plucks three straws from the broom in his jail cell and jammed them into the slats of the cot above him. He laid back to look at them, and the yellow ball that always shone night and day reflected on the sparkling foil. And he thought of the simplicity of the first Christmas. He thought of his faith that was sustaining him in this long ordeal. And so Coffey writes, "And then I thought about the simplicity of Christ's birth. Here there was nothing to distract me from the awesomeness of Christmas. No commercialism, no presents, little food. I was beginning to appreciate my own spirituality because I had been stripped of everything by which I had measured my identity. My rank, my uniform, my money, my family. And yet I continue to find strength within. And I realized that though I was hurting and lonely and scared, this might be the most significant Christmas of my life. For some people, the most significant Christmas may be the best or most expensive gift they ever got, or the year they got a ring, or whatever. But for Gerald Coffey, his most significant Christmas was the year he was hurt, lonely, and scared. The simplicity of Christmas really is the message of hope. Coffey said he would look at his captors and realize that one day he would be rescued from there. He'd get out of that prison, return to the wonderful USA, he wrote. It would fill him with hope, just thinking about it. But his captors, however, he realized, would spend the rest of their lives in the hopelessness of communism. In our world of Christmas extreme, the true meaning, the truth of Christmas is very easily lost. In our society, Christmas is celebrated by the vast majority, whether they know Christ or not. I mean, many have a huge Christmas with nothing to do with Christ. He's not even involved. One atheist wrote that he has no problem celebrating Christmas because, as far as he's concerned, Christmas is a secular holiday. One study states nearly half of adult Americans report they know personally someone who does not believe in God but celebrates Christmas anyway. One quote says this, "Christmas seems to have as many modes of interpretation upon which we can set our own personal needs. It becomes what you want it to be. Seems to me that misses the true message of Christmas, the Christ Mass, the celebration of Christ." Ron Berry, our former leader of the American Atheists, a 2,500-member national organization of atheists, states this, "As a free thinker, I believe the holidays are a great tradition, regardless of the underlying basis for them." James Draper of the Lifeway Christian Research said this, "Christmas is about God breaking into the arena of human life. He pitches his tent with us. He walks with us. He was with us wherever we go and whatever we do." That sounds a lot like Matthew 1:23 to me. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." The very message of Christmas is the message of hope. Hope assured, hope answered, hope realized, hope fulfilled. You know, the Bible starts out with creation and the world and man and quickly moves to the fall of man. We know the story, and the Old Testament tells us a man lost without God, out of a relationship with God. And the Old Testament prophets spoke of the promises of God, the coming Messiah, the hope of reconciliation. The Old Testament laws and sacrifices painted a picture of sin and atonement and restoration. The Old Testament saints lived under the law, waiting for the promised Messiah, the hope to come. We read that through the New Testament, the Old Testament rather, but then the Old Testament prophecy ceased, and all was quiet for 400 silent years. 400 silent years. They call it the intertestamental period. prophets became quiet until John the Baptist. He speaks of the Messiah, the Christ, and indeed soon Christ was born. Suddenly, prophecy fulfilled, hope is realized, a child is born, a son is given. That message we see in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In a world of lost and hurting and frightened people, people that were prisoners of war, prisoners of hate, prisoners of anger, lust, fear, greed, prisoners of sin, in a world of darkness, a child was born, a son is given. The light of God comes and overcomes darkness. And hope has pitched his tent with us. The world in 2020 looks a whole lot different than it did to the world that Jesus first came to. In our world of advanced technology, most of us have a phone, a smartphone in our pocket. And scientists have proclaimed or looked at it and said, the average smartphone is millions of times more powerful than the computer that put the first two men on the moon in 1969. Millions of times more powerful with RAM and all the stuff that they figure than the computer that put the man on the moon. We are changing night and day constantly. The world in 2020 surely looks a lot different than the world that Jesus first came to. It looks a lot different until you compare it to what the people were experiencing in everyday life. The world Christ came into was a world of lost, hurting, frightened people. Prisoners of war, prisoners of hate, prisoners of anger, prisoners of lust, prisoners of fear, greed, prisoners of sin. Suddenly 2020 looks very similar to what the world looked like when Jesus first entered. A world where people desperately need hope, forgiveness, and reassurance. You may have heard in the news lately a phenomenon that's happening. They call it the Christmas star. One article writes about it. The Christmas star will light up the sky on the December solstice, a rare double planet event that hasn't been seen since the Middle Ages. These two planets have not appeared to be this close together from Earth's vantage point since pre-dawn March 4th, 1226. Jupiter and Saturn come close to each other every 20 years, but they haven't come this close to where they become one planet, this bright star, in almost 800 years. It's captured people's attention, and the rare event seems to remind us that God is still in control. He's in control of the heavens. He's in control of the earth as well. We need to be reminded that God is still in control, still on the throne. And he's very much aware of what we are experiencing here and now. When Jesus came on a mission, he came with a mission into a dark, hurting, scared, frightened, fearful world. And the Father sent him with a plan. And at first, not many noticed. The day he was born, a few in the inn were probably aware that some young girl had given birth by herself out in the stables outside. If they knew about it, they didn't seem to care much. They didn't care enough to give up their comfort in their room for this young teenage girl that just gave birth. And in the comfort of their inn, the comfort of their darkness, they didn't see the light that just came into the world. Outside, a few yards away, the Creator, the King of Kings, had arrived. Hebrews tells us he came veiled in the flesh. In their darkness, they missed the opportunity of a lifetime. In the darkness, they missed the opportunity of millions of lifetimes. They could have walked perhaps a few yards and witnessed with their own eyes the Christ child. They may not have noticed, but the heavens did. There was a shaking in the heavens. The heaven noticed this substantial, significant, spectacular event. angel of the Lord stands before the shepherds, surrounded by the glory of God, lighting up the sky. We see in Luke 2, verse 9 and following, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We see this as a Christmas scripture, if you will, and we certainly turn to it every year about this time, but this is just scripture, if you will, talking about that incredible event. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and this is often referred to as the Shekinah glory. And the word Shekinah does not appear in the Bible, but the concept certainly does. It clearly does. Jewish rabbis coined this extra-biblical expression, a form of Hebrew word that literally means he caused to dwell, signifying it was the divine visitation of the presence or dwelling of Jehovah God on earth. That when God appears in one way or another, it's different. It's a Shekinah glory dwelling with us. The Shekinah was first evident when the Israelites set out from Succoth and escaped from Egypt. And so we see in Luke 2:13 and following, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The sky fills with a multitude, an army of heavenly hosts praising God, proclaiming peace, favor, and goodwill towards men, towards mankind. The angels took notice of what man missed. God's promise of hope fulfilled. God's promise all through the Old Testament of who's going to come and the Messiah coming has been fulfilled. The promise is realized. The shepherds noticed. The angels noticed. And you can be sure of another group as well. Scripture doesn't tell this, but I'm quite certain every demon from hell sat up and took notice. They had to realize what was happening, the shaking in the heavens. God's promise of the victor, the one that would bring victory over evil, promised at the fall of man, had arrived. The ruler of darkness was about to be defeated. As we hustle about participating in another busy holiday season, it's all too easy to lose sight of the significance of the birth of our Savior. Somewhere around 100 plus years ago, there was a remarkable Christmas card published by the title, If Christ Had Not Come. It was based on the same Savior's own word in John 15:22, if I had not come. What if Christ had not come? The card pictures a minister falling asleep in a study on Christmas morning and then dreaming of a world in which Jesus had not yet come. In his dream, he saw himself walking through his house, but there are no stockings hung on the chimney, no Christmas tree, no wreaths of holly, and no Christ to comfort, gladden, and save. He walked out on the street, but there was no church with a spiral pointing toward heaven. He came back and sat down in his library. He realized that every book about the Savior that he had had disappeared. Doorbell rang, and a messenger asked him to visit a friend's poor dying mother, and he reached her home, and as a friend sat and wept, he said, I have something here that will comfort you. He opened his Bible to look for a familiar promise, but it ended with Malachi. There was no gospel, no promise of hope and salvation. All he could do was bow his head and weep bitterly with his friend and with his mother. 2 days later, he stood at her coffin and conducted a funeral service. No message of comfort, no words of glorious resurrection, no hope of heaven. It was only dust to us, dust, ashes to ashes, and one long eternal farewell. All that we know and love about Christmas, all the hope that it represents, are only possible because Christ came, hope fulfilled. There are many ways that the world in which we live in today is much like the world Jesus came into. High crime, High taxation, ungodly rulers, rumors of threats of war, tension, division, and sin. But there's one major difference. The Messiah had come. The Messiah has been here, and he's alive today. We think about all the norms that we have lost this year, the comforts we no longer enjoy. We reflect on how challenging this year has been, and it has been. And when we think about all that and how much stuff has changed, we can easily become discouraged. And many are feeling, if not all of us, some form of what we've talked about in weeks past, COVID fatigue. We're just tired of all this. When is this going to get better? And certainly it seems to just be ramping up. The cases have gone crazy. But in the midst of this very challenging season of our lives, there's a magnificent blessing that's easy to miss, easy to overlook. If you've been in this church any time at all, I've talked about this often, but you consider the position where you are able to stand. We're blessed that we stand on this side of the cross, on the finished side of the cross. We're still not waiting for the Christ. In fact, this whole season we celebrate that Christ has come. And it's caught up in, you know, lights and glitter and a little nativity scene with a little baby. And that's all part of it, and there's nothing wrong with that. But Christ came. He's been here. As you celebrate, rejoice. Rejoice in the message of our Savior. Rejoice that every need you have is met in Christ. Rejoice that hope that was promised has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Rejoice and realize. Realize that there's a world around you that has not heard the angels, have not seen the light. They're in darkness, lost, hurting, needing Jesus, who's already come. Luke writes of the announcement, we read some of it a minute ago, and writes of the announcement of Christ, and then he tells us what the shepherds did after this magnificent night with the angels in the sky, what they did. Luke 2:15. And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. In a dark world where man lived in darkness, some shepherds saw and understood. The very first to proclaim the Messiah was here. The light of the world had come. If I had been living back then, I'd want to be one of the shepherds. Not because of their occupation. The shepherds were the lowest caste of society in many ways. And I wouldn't want to have been because of the occupation. But I'd want to be one of the shepherds because of this incredible privilege revelation. To be there, to stand in a dark night and have it light up with the glory of God and all these angels. And then suddenly it left and then it becomes dark again, but yet the hope was there. And to travel and to go and to see the Christ child. The business of their life and their occupation, they set that aside long enough to go and see the Christ child. What's caught you up this year? What are you so busy with that is stopping you from realizing and seeing in your life the Messiah that lives with you if you know him? Think about it. We know that many missed the birth of Christ. They didn't see the angels. They didn't see the glory of God shining around them. In the business of their everyday life, they missed the most significant event in history happening right under their noses. Kind of sounds like you and me at times, the busyness of our life. Life happening at a fast pace, regardless of even the craziness that's happening around us. These folks were dealing with the inconvenience of reporting for a census. One more inconvenient thing they didn't want to do, but they had to. And I'm not sure why the shepherds were singled out. I mean, there's a lot of theories. not really told why. Were they more prepared for the Savior than most? Maybe. Was God saying that he could be revealed to the very least? That status doesn't count much for God? Maybe. Probably. Another reason, it was easy for the shepherds to stand up and take notice. It's hard to miss the host of angels surrounded by the glory of God on a dark night out in the field. How many times have you wished that God would get your attention like that? You know, the burning bush experience. The Lord, hit me in the head with a 2x4. Make it obvious. Make it plain. I want to hear. I'd want to be one of the shepherds, wouldn't you? I'd want to know. They had no doubt ever Christ had come. But in many ways, we are. When we meet Christ, we have the revealed truth of the Word of God in our hearts planted with the presence of God, the Holy Spirit in Christ. If you know Christ, the gospel will become real to you. If the gospel has become real for you, you can do what the shepherds did. Luke 2:17, again following. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. If you know Christ, you have the same privilege and the same mission. Who do you know in your life that doesn't know Christ, that is trying to celebrate some form of Christmas in a dark, pandemic-ridden world that needs to hear the hope of Christ? Maybe yet again, maybe you've shared in the past, but maybe you need to trust God to bring a special anointing, special words, perfectly go forward and share the truth like the shepherds did. If you know Christ, Christmas can hold the true meaning for you and hold the most significant. This could be the most significant Christmas you ever had. Certainly for most of us, it's going to be pared down, not the big family gatherings with all the pandemic and all that's happening, not the travel that so many do. It's going to be different. And we want to get caught up in the, oh, woe is me of it. But why can't it be the most significant Christmas we ever had? If you know Christ, you do can make widely known the truth about Christmas, the truth about the Savior. Hope promised, hope fulfilled, hope revealed in Christ Jesus. The story about a young couple that, in their second year of marriage, decided not to use this little 2-foot plastic tree they had, and they went out and bought the perfect Christmas tree. Wide at the bottom, pointed at the top, and they took it home, set it up, put it in the thing, just it fell over, completely destroyed the stand. They went out and bought another stand that did exactly the same thing. And what's going on with this? They looked at it, the base was straight and centered, but upon closer inspection, they found the middle section, the hidden part, twisted and contorted, hopelessly flawed within it, could never stand on its own. For many in the world, on the outside, if you will, oh, it's just a season to be jolly. But inwardly, in the hidden part, hurts, pains, and disappointments. Though I many harmony ornaments the young couple could put on the tree, could never stand alone. No matter how many ornaments we attach to our lives, we can never be right on our own. We can never stand before God on our own without Christ straightening out that twisted, distorted inwardness that we live with. The Christmas message is a story of a God seeing twisted, hurting, sinful people and coming and pitching his tent with us to die for us. This picture of deity veiled in the flesh setting up a tent right where you are. Christmas, the story of love, the story of hope fulfilled. Prophet Isaiah prophesied unto us, a child is born unto us, a son is given. And one day, Jesus, as he grew, stood up in the temple and read something else that Isaiah prophesied. We read it in Luke 4. It's when he, meaning Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place. He looked for this, get it? He found a place where it was written. And he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," because he's saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I am anointed to do these things. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Right there is a Christmas message. Right there is the Christmas promise. Jesus the Christ has proclaimed his purpose. Anointed of God to preach the gospel of salvation. Sent to heal every broken heart, every broken body. To proclaim liberty to those in prison, prisoners of sin, to be set free. To set free the oppressed, bruised by the enemy. To bring sight to the blind, both physically and spiritually. The real Christmas message is not some jolly old man dressed in red. The real Christmas is not a tree with gifts spilling out into the house, into the room. The real Christmas message is Emmanuel, God with us. Our Lord, our Savior, has pitched his tent with us. In this COVID-filled, anxiety-producing culture, a Christmas unlike we've experienced in our lifetime, God is always with us. He not only pitched his tent, he invites you, if you will, to come in and relax in his presence, to be with you, to know of his presence. He invites you to come inside his tent, be reassured, renewed, and reinvigorated. And boy, do we need that right now. Emmanuel, God, still with us, never to leave, never to forsake. Emmanuel pitched his tent to be with us. So we see Christmas in a troubled world this year. But we can have Christmas hope in a troubled world. The simplicity of the meaning of Christmas brings with it a profound message. Christmas is a yearly reminder that God keeps his promises. Hope promised, hope fulfilled, hope revealed in Jesus. May this Christmas and this season be the most significant. Maybe we have a true revelation, a new revelation, if you will, of the reality of Christ in our lives, a deeper understanding of who Jesus is, why he came, what he wants to do in our lives, and that he's still in control, that we will get through this season. We will get past this, and God will shine in our lives every day when we allow it. Christmas is a reminder that God keeps his promises. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. As always, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this season. With all of its trappings and all of its different the stuff we deal with it, as I said, for me, it seems different, but yet, Lord, we're reminded that you're still in control, throne, you're still in control. May your grace abound in your people's lives. Certainly may your angels encamp about them and protect them, keep them in all they do. May hope be realized in their hearts. May hope shine in their houses and our lives. May your provision be there, a deep abiding hunger for you in their hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed week. Chris and I tell you every week, we're praying for you. We think about you all the time. We're looking forward to once again being in the house of God together, rejoicing. But we're never really apart. We're never really alone. God's with all of us. He loves you, and Chris and I love you too. Have a blessed week. Amen.